Welcome to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast. Yes, it's 100% unscripted, 100% unrehearsed, 100% unedited, and 100% real. I'm your host, Mark A. Preston. And I want my guests today to introduce themselves purely because I don't really know that much about them and I don't want them to do them any injustice. So, hello. Please welcome and introduce yourself.
Thank you so much, Mark. My name is Doug Bradley. I'm the owner of Everest Legal Marketing. We're located in Southern California. We work primarily with small to medium-sized law firms throughout the U.S., doing website design, content development, and search engine optimization.
Wonderful. Now, for the people watching this and listening to this who don't know who you are and doesn't know your background, including myself.
Yeah.
Could you give me a bit of a whirlwind tour of when it was you started in the marketing industry, when that was, how it happened, sure. And what's happened between then and now?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I guess I'm a little bit of an old codger in this industry. So I started primarily advertising in the Yellow Pages when there was such a thing. And a lot of our clients, I mean, 25 to 30% of our revenue came in from law firms. And so a lot of my book of business were law firms and lawyers. And that's how I kind of got introduced to the advertising industry, especially for the legal vertical. And while I was there for a little while, I actually was there through the Great Recession, and I managed to hang on in that industry through the Great Recession, which decimated phone book advertising. But I was recruited over to a major legal directory here in the U.S. called lawyers.com. And it was that real experience that got me super interested in how competitive the legal vertical is for SEO for law firms. And while I was there, what I noticed was I would sell something, and if I didn't really help the campaign along, I couldn't rely on the company to really execute well. And it took a really long time to get anything done. And so a lot of the times I was helping the campaigns, I was modifying the campaigns for the clients because it wasn't performing. And so I got really good at figuring out how SEO works and the mechanisms behind it. And then that company sold off to another big company, and they basically fired about 200 sales reps. And that's when I thought, you know what? I really need to have my own show. And so I took a couple of clients and just went from there. That's really it.
You know what? That story totally resonates because everything naturally happens when I'm speaking to guests, and nothing's really ever planned. Like you said, the big recession, yes, well, I was there, and unfortunately, yeah. I was one of the people who didn't make it through, you know, so, you know, and it was a tough time for everyone.
Yeah.
And I do think that evolution has to change, you know.
Sure.
Because things do change. And I think a lot of people in marketing and SEO, if they're stuck in the one-track mindset and they don't evolve with times, then they're going to be left behind. So from your own perspective in the legal sector, what would you say has been the biggest changes?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, and this has probably been a trend I've seen more so in the last 5 years or so, especially with the legal vertical, is that lawyers are becoming a lot more savvy with marketing. They're treating their law firms more as brands. They're marketing more as brands. And they're putting more emphasis on analytics, attribution, ROI. Whereas before, I think it was mostly driven by them wanting to be present or the biggest and the baddest and wanting to be perceived as such. And I think that's even down now to the solo law firm owner, is they really understand that their clients are looking at their website, they're looking at their bio, they may be looking at what they're posting on social media, do they have any videos, and they're looking at a law firm as a brand holistically. And I think that's been a pretty big change, at least for law firms, because law firms are typically slow to adapt to things like that.
Yeah. Well, for myself, yes, I primarily work in SEO, but a lot of the things I do to impact positively is about just helping businesses to build a brand.
Sure.
You know, it's like, well, you know, it's what do they want to be known for?
Right, right.
That what you're describing there is, for me, is such a positive mindset. You know, I just wish more business owners thought like that, you know. But has it made your job easier?
Easier? No. you know, a lot of our swing zone for our clientele is small to medium sized businesses. So most of our clientele is one attorney to maybe 10 to 20 attorneys. That's really who we work with. And many law firms, especially on the lower end of that spectrum, they don't really have budget or energy for branding conversations or, you know, the creative types. And they're really hiring our firm to complete a task for them, which is, I want leads from the internet. I want clients from the internet, you know, through organic and local search. And so it's made our job a little bit more difficult, to where we kind of have to wear multiple marketing hats for a lot of law firms, because they don't have a director of marketing. They don't have a COO to handle incoming leads and to map them and track them. And so we kind of have to help them along the way. But I think overall, it's had its benefits, and it's also had its drawbacks. But I do like the process. It's just hard. I think it's difficult to juggle all those things really effectively, especially when you're dealing with, you know, one or two person firm, and maybe they've only been open for 6 months. You know, how do we have that conversation? Where do we even start to try and get our arms around that?
So do you see yourselves as the in-house marketing team for each law firm?
I think our clients see us that way. And in a way, I do like to be perceived, you know, as kind of the in-house marketing. But our focus really is on what we believe and what our data holds as being the most effective form of producing leads for clients, or law firm clients, in my opinion, here in the U.S. is search engine optimization. So that's really the linchpin of our business for our clients. But, you know, point to what you said earlier, things change and people use search mechanisms differently and search platforms differently. And so we're not in the market of SEO for Google. We're in the market of delivering clients to law firms. And we have to keep that in mind when we're doing our jobs.
Well, for me, this shouldn't be SEO for Google. It should always be SEO for the business impact.
Yeah.
I think that's the direction that a lot more people in the industry need to go down. So would you say you work primarily with local law firms? Is it local type SEO you're doing to generate leads?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, our clientele mostly has, they're trying to reach clients within about 20 to maybe 40 mile radius primarily. And that's kind of a reach. Most law firms are really just trying to get within their first cities around them. And I don't think the expectation is always there that their campaign is going to be found 50 to 100 miles away. But we do have several clients who have multiple office locations that are hundreds of miles away. And so we handle those as well. But we take on each one of those offices as a local campaign.
Wonderful. Now, with you focusing on the local lead generation, is how, when you get a new law firm come in, what's the sort of strategy and the the pipeline, or what's your process involved with taking somebody new and to the point where you can generate quality leads for them?
Yeah. Oh God, that's a good question. You know, I guess it's what is your definition of new? Because
I don't mean brand new, you know, just started out. I mean established.
Yeah.
They just new, a new client to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we both, and probably your audience knows that, you know, every client probably has a different starting line. And it's very, very prevalent in law firms where they either just started and they need help, or they've been around for 50 years and there's a changing of the guard and they now realize that they need to really focus on this thing that they've been kind of setting off to the side for the last 10, 20 years. And so I think what we do is we try to map out what their current website is and what the strengths of it are, what the deficiencies are structurally, technically, and authoritative wise. And we try to find out who's their best competitor. And this is a process that I think is pretty standard within SEO. But we really like to try to match up and find out, okay, this is the person who we're basically looking at as the guide or the blueprint. And then how do we improve on their process and their steps? Where can we reliably be or forecast that we could be in the next 3 to 6 months? And where do we go after that 3 to 6 months? I think that's where we try to look at, you know, the data to give some realistic expectations to a client.
Right. Now, do you handle any of the content side of things?
We do. That's been an interesting ball of wax the last few months.
Has your approach in the past 6 months changed towards content?
Our approach has always been quality, helpfulness, and information, you know, providing that to our client's client. We haven't changed in the regards that we're still using lawyers and legal writers here in the US to write content for our clients, because we feel that they have the best professional perspective on what our client's client is looking for and what might help them. It's obvious that AI is like, that's going to change everything, and it already has changed everything. I think myself as an agency owner in handling clients who have a really high expectation of quality of content, I'm a bit resistant to leave human professional content in the hopes that AI will be more efficient or cheaper or something of that sort. I like working with our writing team because they can write exactly what we're trying to go after for our clients. So in the regards that has anything changed, I think the process for our writers has changed. They're using ChatGPT and other tools to help maybe develop ideas or frameworks for articles, but we're still making sure that these are all human written, professional written content pieces for our clients, because at the end of the day, our client doesn't want to have to spend an hour of his or her time editing drivel.
Yeah. Now, being in the US, I understand that each state has their own individual laws. So when you are writing content for your law firm clients, it's how do you go about understanding all the variations between the laws in different states then?
Yeah, that's a good question. There's definitely different laws that are usually set up by individual state bar associations, right? So each of these state bars, and many of them have very similar aspects, but usually what we do is we review them and see if there's anything that's particularly unique about that state's bar guidelines and what we can and can't put on a client's website. And then oftentimes too, the client may even tell us during our discovery, you know, hey, we got to make sure that, you know, X, Y, and Z, because this firm got sanctioned, or this firm got fined, or this firm got slapped on the wrist for a certain, you know, something or other. But usually what we're trying to do is we're trying to look at the professional ethics document from the local, you know, state bar to see if there's anything that stands out.
Yeah. So do you have to get your clients, the actual lawyers, to sense check every piece of content before it goes live?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, absolutely. So anything that we write on behalf of a client, they're editing. We try to, you know, we really try to make that as the least painful as possible, because a lawyer's time, several hundred, maybe thousands of dollars per hour. So we understand that. We appreciate that. That's why we have the people we have in place, and we pay our writers really well for their content, mainly because we don't want them to be disappointed. But yeah, every piece of content that goes on to our client's website is looked at, edited, and approved by our clients ahead of time.
So I'm just trying to understand, with you working in one single sector, is there a lot of crossover between all your clients? There must be similarities.
Oh, sure.
So you understand exactly what works to generate quality leads.
So yeah, I mean, that's why we specialize, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's why we specialize, and that's what I like. I understand the business model of a personal injury lawyer in California, and one in Florida, and one in Illinois. I understand that. But I also understand the business model of different smaller types of practices that might be a little bit more obscure, like bad faith insurance, which is, you know, it's a whole different kind of practice. But that practice applies to other states, and once you have that knowledge set, you can help create a successful blueprint for another lawyer in another state. And I really like that aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, if you totally understand the industry inside out, then obviously it's going to impact on things. But
sure.
Do you think, because you just work in the legal sector, that there becomes a time where you're sort of competing against yourself?
Yeah, well, you know, the United States is a very litigious country. And so there's a million lawyers, at least a million lawyers or more in the United States. And it's only come up a couple of times where I'll be competing against myself. There's enough law firms to develop really valuable relationships to go around. There's no shortage of that.
Right. So you just make sure that you only work with one law firm in one sort of town or city.
Yeah. Yeah. We have some specific rules around that. And, you know, if we're going to color outside the lines on that, we're usually doing it with the knowledge of both parties. So, yeah, we try to be careful not to step on our own toes. And it's bitten me in the butt a couple of times where hasn't happened often, but I've had to turn down some very lucrative offers from law firms where I had another law firm, and they approached me because of what I had done for that law firm. And I just said, I'm sorry, I can't, you know, this is, and I hope you respect that. And if I ever lose this client, I'll come back to you, but at least you'll know at that time that I won't go and get hired by your competitor.
Yeah. I mean, I had this one situation quite a few years ago, mm-hmm. where a competitor of a client I was working with actually come to me and offered to pay me just to not work for them. They didn't want me to work with them. They just wanted me not to work for them, because of this business that they're taking away.
Yeah, your reputation precedes you. And I do know a few agency owners where within their contract, they'll have an exclusivity clause where they will actually give the option to their potential new client to say, do you want us to be exclusive to personal injury in this city or criminal defense in this city? And if you do, it's going to cost you an extra $2,000 or $3,000 a month for us to say no to everybody.
Ah, so something you triggered there in my mind, it's individual sectors within law.
Oh, for sure.
Areas. So
yeah.
In one city, there could be lots of different law firms you're working with because each one specializes in a different area of law.
Yeah. I know you have some background in this as well, and maybe I'll get your, insight to this, but there's really, 10 or 15 primary consumer facing law types of practices, personal injury, workers' compensation, family law, criminal defense, and then a handful of others that the general public would need to hire on a really regular basis. And in any given city, we could have four clients and all of them do different things. And they may all even know each other and may have referred us in because they were friends with each other.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the same way with you.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I personally rather work with a competitor than against them, And I feel that some industries are like that and some aren't. Some say, is they don't want anything at all to do with them over there, but others, I mean, in the place I live, the county I live, it's very much we all help each other as best we can. And it's, well, our clients over here can actually benefit from what you're doing over here. And
yeah,
there's a lot of that going on where I am.
Yeah. So I think it's also situational, right, Mark? Because some of my clients will refer us to a friend who has a law firm that does the exact same practice as our client, but they also do other stuff, but they work together in a referral relationship. And because they can, they as attorneys can share referral fees and they can benefit monetarily from that referral relationship. But if they haven't referred us to someone, our clients don't want us working with direct competitors, and the optics are bad. If we've been successful for a particular personal injury firm, and then we go and their main competitor hires us, our client that we've had for 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 years looks at that and says, you're using all of the information and all of the success that we've built over this really long period of time and, financed your knowledge to make this competitor successful. And so the business person in me wants to have multiple clients in the same neighborhood, but ethically, I have problems with that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've always had ethics behind things. I mean, I've always said I'd be very, very rich now with the things I've turned down.
Yeah. Maybe I would be rich. I don't know. I can't say that. But I've definitely lost several, but at least a handful of clients that would have been, six-figure clients.
Yeah, but at least this way, you can really help to build a brand and a business.
Oh, for sure.
Long term.
Right.
And I think once you start competing against yourself directly, it's, well, there's only one number one spot. Which right. one is going to get it?
Right. Yeah. There's plenty of business to go around. And if I'm looking for new clients, I can always look. There's 49 other states than one I'm located in. So, I can go look in the biggest city in those states and find an unlimited supply of law firms who might need our service.
Yeah. So have you seen any big changes over the past few months with all the bombardment of Google updates and everything? Personally, myself in the local space, I haven't seen much, but I'm just wondering from your side, because it is all about legal and accurate and fact check and everything.
Yeah, well, I do think we've started to see, and we actually started noticing in about September, October, November last year, many of our clients up until that point have always been either traffic growing, traffic flat. Maybe it was a slow month, but when we look at year over year data, you know, we can look at traffic. We could see, you know, contact page visits. We can talk to the clients and we can get a gauge. And we did start to see a handful of clients where their organic traffic has started to slow down. And at that time we thought, well, we're going into the Christmas season. You know, maybe it's just a slowdown from then, even though we were looking at year over year data and we could see, wow, this client's still top of fold positioning for multiple search phrases, but their traffic's down 13%. How is that even possible? And so we did start to notice at that time. And then going into 2024, we started to see that trend continue. And for some clients, we're still seeing that trend continue where their organic traffic is going down a little bit, or we're seeing growth in alternative search engines like Bing and DuckDuckGo, whereas traffic from Google Organic is starting to shrink a bit more. The problem that I'm seeing is that the growth in those alternative channels, you know, even though it might say you grew 1,000% traffic on Bing, it's 1,000% based off of, you know, 20 clicks. So it doesn't really fill the gap of what we see coming out of organic. So some of that we can attribute to maybe a slow market. Financial times are hard for a lot of retainer-based attorneys. And some of it we're attributing to users using other forms of search to find lawyers. So we're trying to be creative and figure out different ways to get and diversify our traffic sources for and lead sources for our clients.
So have you seen any changes between the informational content and the content that directly generates leads?
You know what? A little bit. And what I can say is that if we look at historically, at least in my agency and focusing on the legal here in the US, information-based pillar pages or skyscraper pages or whatever you might want to call them, where it's a really comprehensive list of factually correct information and it's well cited and it's, you know, 2,000 words long. Many of those pages we're starting to see lose visibility to pages that are more direct, more succinct. They have a stronger call to action. They answer questions quickly without giving legal advice, right? But we're starting to see even those pages now that you might think would never compete 2, 3, 4 years ago in search. We're now starting to see them compete pretty prominently on page one. And so that's shifted our approach to those lead generation pages or practice pages, really direct search pages, in a way that it wouldn't have been that way 2 years ago, for sure.
Yeah, I think that I have seen big changes regarding that in the e-commerce space.
Okay.
With some e-commerce clients I'm working with, where historically their informational pages was ranking so, so well and driving lots of quality traffic through.
Yeah.
And suddenly, after the moment of updates, mm-hmm. Google is now seeing all those phrases and intents differently. And instead of ranking the information pages, they're ranking the category pages.
Yeah.
And I think that in the industry, we're seeing a lot of that. You know, so I think a lot of the shift that's going on at the moment is realistically, and not all of it's positive, mm-hmm. but from some of the things, well, is if they rank in the category page, well, that's just great because it's further down to generate a sale.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I think with legal, this has always been the case, I think, for legal specifically, for consumer-based lawyers, is that if you want to rank for a phrase, you have to have a page that's written for that page. And I think the way that it's written now and crafted matters more to the get to the point, answer the question with helpful content, and position yourself as an expert on that practice or on that search phrase. And I think we're trying to figure out and balance being helpful, being informational, not giving legal advice, and, you know, delivering a page of content that someone can be inspired to contact that lawyer with.
Yeah, I work a lot in the health space.
Like
what you mentioned there resonates, because you can't actually give diagnosis, right? So when it comes to the content, you somehow have to give value without actually giving a diagnosis. And I suppose in the legal space, it's very much the same as that, because obviously it depends on the situation, and, you know, there can be 100 different situations.
Yeah, there's a definite correlation there in the YMYL category. And I guess I have a question for you too. We're seeing the proliferation of forums, and people also ask. And in legal, it looks like litter on the search results pages. And sometimes the information is inaccurate. Sometimes it's wildly outdated. I would say even oftentimes it is. But in the health vertical, it has a real opportunity to harm someone. And some of the search phrases that SEO Twitter is, you know, showing, like how people, you know, you go to Quora and somebody's diagnosing a problem and it's outranking the Mayo Clinic or some really authoritative website. And we have a Redditor commenting on, you know, someone's cancer treatment. Like, how do you reconcile that?
Well, for me, I don't sort of worry about it.
Okay.
For me personally, I've been doing this long time, like yourself, 23 years odd, and I've always focused on the things that I can control.
Sure.
You see, I can't change what's happening. I can just do the best I can for the clients I work with.
Yeah.
Right. Now, obviously, putting information out there to say that, you know, is this advice, can you trust it? Is it a trusted source? Is it a specialist? Is it a doctor? You know, who is the doctor? And that kind of approach I've found is more of an educational piece, and it's more a case of, well, you know, would you let someone off the street, you know, operate on a tumor?
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of approach. It's just somebody. And I find it as though it's the context.
Yeah.
Right? Is it lacking context around things? So somebody saying that, well, if you're feeling like that, or you've got this certain legal issue, and that's the solution, well, why is it? Where's the proof? You know, that kind of thing around it. And for me, you know, it's a bit of a minefield. Let's face it, at the moment. And for me, we just have to bring it back to good branding, good marketing, and that kind of approach. And in the hope that, you know, someday things get cleaned up.
Yeah, I think that's what everybody's waiting for. And to me, it seems like, you know, I graduated high school in 1996. And so much of my schooling up until that point was offline, you know, was really making that transition from, you know, encyclopedias to search engines. And I think Google specifically has really cultivated itself as a really trusted resource. And in my opinion, the path they're going down tarnishes that reputation a little bit. And I think they really need to hone in on a strategy for utilizing these forums and utilizing these people also ask, because if it is a minefield, as you say, the user is experiencing that minefield. And to the user, it's not much effort for them to try a different search platform.
Yeah, and I think moving forward, if, you know, Google SGE, the AI search engine, does become global and used, and it's Google that's then answering these health-related legal questions themselves based on what's already out there. And it's been proven that it can't fact-check. There's no way for the AI to fact-check things, you know, on all the different topics and subjects out there. You know,
yeah, especially when you have
I mean, for the health industry and for the legal industry, there's so many complications around giving false information.
Yeah, yeah, especially when the information is life impacting, right? Those YMYL categories, you know, law, health, finance, those types of things. And there's experts with a wide range of opinions on all of those things. And so how does AI corral that information and we trust it? Yeah, that I think is a very big question for the next 2 months, 2 years, 20 years down the road.
Yeah, but I think in the legal sector, the law is the law.
That's true.
And I think it's with the health industry, yes, it can be skewed and all that, but for the legal industry, the law is the law. So, you know, everything's based on the law in each state, whatever that is, and the scenarios around it. So I suppose the legal industry isn't as well, it's more what I call black and white. You know, it's either is it against the law or is it for the law? Is it within the law? You know, and I think when it comes to the whole search experience, I do think that, yeah, there might be some variations, but realistically, everything's surrounding the law.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, that to me is also another hurdle when it comes to consumer areas of law, because a lot of times clients don't really, you know, our clients, our lawyers, our law firms, their clients don't know the law, and they think that they're hiring a lawyer to somehow get around the laws, or I wouldn't say break the laws, but massage the laws, right? And they are disappointed or upset. So a lot of our clients, they get one-star reviews. And when I talk to them about it, because I talk to my clients regularly about their reviews, they're saying, yeah, they wanted me to break the law. they're disappointed because I wouldn't break the law. And I clearly told them, you can't do this because of X, Y, and Z. And I'm getting a one-star review, but there's nobody else that could have gotten them a better result, because that is the law. So
yeah,
it's a complication.
That's a different lucrative sector of law firms. I think that's the, you know, in essence. But when it comes to content and you're working with a law firm, if everything's based on the law itself, how do you differentiate the law firms you're working with based on what somebody else is putting out? Because theoretically, isn't it the same thing, you're just saying in a different way? Or how do you distinguish it, or how do you add value to it?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And we do struggle with that a bit with each of our clients. But there's always nuances and there's always approaches. And when we're intaking a client, we're asking them these questions, you know, how do you approach? Are you aggressive? Or, you know, what's your demeanor with these things? How do you want us to have the writer write these things and structure them? But the other thing is, because law firms are so localized, at least, you know, making a blanket statement, you know, law firms generally are localized. Their consumer, their client is looking for the best options locally. So, you know, I'm in a state, California, and it's humongous state, and there's nobody in Sacramento who's going to hire a personal injury attorney, generally speaking, in San Diego. You know, it's just there's absolutely, unless it's a special circumstance, there's really not that many reasons why you would. And so I think writing to appeal to the general local area in a way that positions you as an expert that has a take on a specific topic, I think those things really help differentiate law firms. And a lot of the times the hesitation, or I guess the fear, is, I wouldn't say it's unfounded, but we're always going to find some new topic that other local attorneys haven't written about, they haven't talked about, or we're also going to get to a place where we build the website authoritative enough to push them down anyway. You know, that's what we're hoping, right? That's what every agency is hoping to do for their clients. So I think it's a combination of those things that you know, help us differentiate.
Yeah. Now, because you are a legal marketing agency and not a legal SEO agency, is how do you use, well, not use, but how do you structure the power of general marketing to impact SEO growth?
Yeah, well, and not to correct you, but I would say our biggest service, our bread and butter, is search engine optimization for law firms. And we absolutely use search engine optimization holistically. So we will try to go and find the best places to get our clients represented, whether it's on a legal directory, whether it's on a legal blog, whether it's using PR, whether it's using other places. But it's all for the purpose and the benefit of being found in search. When it comes to branding, a lot of the times that's a little bit more of a difficult situation because our clients are trying to be creative and they're trying to loop us into being creative with them, but they're also hiring us most specifically for SEO 9 times out of 10.
Right. So when you're working with the client, is with local SEO, there's all the what I call foundational things, right, that need doing. Getting all, everything in place and all that. But once you've nailed down all the foundational stuff with local SEO and branding and all that, is how do you then constantly work with the clients to help them push forward and generate even more leads?
Yeah, well, I think at that point, we're looking at leveraging more top of funnel searches, more timely type of searches. If there's a recent incident that might warrant their services, we're trying to write content that meets that search demand. We're leveraging maybe social media in more strongly than other aspects of our campaign. We're posting different types of things using Google Business Profiles or other things that help benefit in that regard. We're looking at publishing on partner websites, that might want some legal content on their website, leveraging relationships with other local businesses. And I think it's all in the pursuit of strengthening that website and that law firm to the point where they become hopefully impenetrable. We want to build a fortress around our client, so that way it's really, really difficult to try and displace them.
Yeah, so it is basically building a local brand.
Yeah.
Locally.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, now we don't focus on a lot of the creative types like billboard messaging or, local television or radio. So we can help facilitate some of those things with other marketing firms or other vendors. And maybe even make some suggestions along the way that either can help collect data or attribute data or, things along those lines. But yeah, our role really distinctly is we want to help the client dominate search that's productive for their practice.
Yeah. So is there, because I don't know the industry in the US extensively, the law industry. Now, are there any sort of national sort of law firms that sort of dominate?
Yeah, yeah. And even state, I would say national and statewide. There's, the big one in the US for personal injury is Morgan & Morgan. it is just a massive website that just dominates search engines, search engines results pages, no matter where they operate. There's also a pretty well-known national firm that does family law, Cordell. There's a handful of those national searches or law firms where they do dominate, but you know, most of our firms are usually statewide. They might be a state and maybe a neighboring state, or they have a business partner in another state across the country. So we're trying to juggle one state on the West Coast and another state Midwest or East Coast. And that becomes a complication. But yeah, the large national firms are always going to have their share of the pie because they just have a larger war chest to draw from when it comes to budget.
But do you think the actual customers themselves, mm-hmm. do you think the mindset of the customers is changing? So they'd rather, you know, work with a local law firm rather than one of these big names that scattered everywhere.
Yeah, I think it boils down to, honestly, the consumer. That's hard. We have to appeal to the consumers who are going to be our potential clients. And we have to decide as marketers, and I think lawyers have to decide as lawyers, are we going to really draw in those clients who the marketing message appeals to them from a large national law firm versus we're the local law firm, we're in the community, we go to the community events, we donate to the local organizations, we support the local Little League and things of that sort. And I think at least for most for most legal search, that communication of that message resonates more with a resident who has a criminal defense problem or a divorce problem. I think that helps give some personality to a firm that might be otherwise being squished by a national law firm that their biggest claim is that they're the biggest, you know?
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, in almost every industry, mm-hmm. it is, you know, the small businesses who are just trying to compete against the big brands. But personally, I don't see it like that. Mm-hmm. I see the big brands as a different market.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I agree with you, by the way. I mean, in agency here, we're a relatively small agency. We have less than 100 clients, and we compete, I think, pretty well against agencies that have several thousand clients. And when we look at our campaigns next to their clients' campaigns, we perform quite well and oftentimes outperform them. And our clients can see that. And our clients also know that if they pick up the phone, they can call Doug, and if there's something wrong, Doug will answer the question because I'm involved in my campaigns. I answer my phone, I answer my texts, I answer my emails, and I'm the person accountable for your campaign. Whereas with the large agencies and much, you know, kind of similar to a large law firm, you might get lost in the mix. It's a cog in the machine, and the bureaucracy of the size of that machine, a lot of the time, small things go, unattended.
Yeah, I think it comes down to the more personal touch.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I do. You know, I have run my own agencies in the past. I've built my own franchise network, mm-hmm. you know, in the past.
And yeah.
It is an essence of, you know, keeping that local individuality for themselves, you know, and yeah. standing out locally. And I think that, you know, when a lot of people in the SEO industry think of working with small local businesses, they think, local SEO, checklist, yes, we've done that, yes, we've done that, yeah, without actually, you know, helping the business to get part of the local community.
Sure. Yeah, I think local outreach, local presence, community reputation. I mean, if I screw over a lawyer locally, you can bet your bottom dollar that word's going to travel fast, because my next client, they're probably friends or they're probably acquaintances, And if I get a bad review from a lawyer who's well-respected, that could be detrimental, you know. And to a large agency, that negative feedback is going to get lost in the sea of their marketing.
Yeah, and I suppose you don't really want to try and dispute a lawyer.
Yeah. And that's part of my pitch process to lawyers is that I'm in the business of helping lawyers and I'm not in the business of, you know, ticking them off. You know, I really don't need a bunch of upset lawyers coming at me.
Yeah. It's but how do you feel working with law firms? I don't mean just in yourself. How do you feel when you work with them?
I love it. I really, really like it because I don't know if it's my personality or just the way I think about things. It lends itself well to most lawyers' perception of clients and marketing and being competitive and wanting, you know, the right case and the right type of clientele. And I love the challenge of law firm marketing. I love going up against, you know, I have to compete not just with these other law firms. I have to compete with these really authoritative legal directories. And now I have to compete with Reddit. And I have to compete with the legal experts on Quora. Right. But I really enjoy it. It's very rewarding, especially when I have a personal relationship with my client and they, you know, they're like, I was able to, you know, do this event with my family, or we recently won a case that came from the website and that changed our law firm, or it changed our marketing, or it changed our strategy, or it helped us hire an associate or some paralegals. And to me, that's incredibly rewarding.
Yeah, I love working with what I call the unknown brands mm-hmm. and the small local businesses, because you're helping to change lives.
Sure.
You know, you really are. It's not just, you know, helping that law firm to generate so much revenue. It's, well, because of that, are they able to employ more people? Well, right. That person they've employed is going to benefit. And I think a lot of people in the industry don't see that real life connection.
Yeah. Lawyers are business owners. They're small business owners, just like any other, just a like a plumber down the street. Different services, obviously, right? But they have kids that they're sending to school. They have expenses. They have people that they employ. They have investments in marketing that they have to make, investments in supplies that they have to make, and other professionals. And so, yeah, at the end of the day, they're a small business owners, and their concerns, while they may be different, in many ways are the same as any other business owner. So I think I have a kinship to other business owners. Most of my clients, I think even, you know, many of the solo attorneys, their revenue, you know, may not necessarily be exceeding high six figures or low seven figures. And so it's not like these are behemoth law firms that are looking to go out and, you know, smash everybody. You know, most of them are just, you know, they want to help people with divorce. They want to help people with estate planning. They want to help people with criminal defense charges or a personal injury. And most don't aspire to be, you know, a 100 person law firm.
Yeah. Well, the time has totally rocked on.
And thank you. I appreciate it.
I could chat about this like all evening.
Same. So
I want to ask, is there anything that we haven't spoken about yet, but you really feel that the audience would benefit from?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I don't know that I have anything specific, but what I would say with, I guess, maybe legal marketing, if you're an agency owner or an SEO professional and you're looking on bringing on your first attorney client, be very careful, you know, be very measured with your approach. Make sure you understand the state's bar guidelines that you're, you know, the state that attorney's in. And make sure that the client has an opportunity to review everything before you hit the publish button.
Wonderful. And on that note, what conversations would you like to have with people and where can they find you?
You know, well, if a lawyer happens to hear this, maybe they're looking at SEO. We have a free website SEO tool on our website, everestlegalmarketing.com, that helps give people some high level information about the way that their website is perceived by Google. So that would be where I direct most people. And also, I'm pretty active on Twitter. So if anybody wants to follow me and start a conversation there, I'd love it.
Well, Doug, it's been absolutely incredible.
Thank you.
Like I said, we could go on forever, but the time is running out. And many, many thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on, Mark.
You've been listening to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast with me, Mark A. Preston. Join us next time as I interview more top SEO professionals.